have a guest teacher this morning to come and share the Word of God with us. In our Bible class, we've been talking about the kingdom of God, kingdom living, kingdom character. And we'll pick this up next Sunday morning as we deal with this theme. Next Sunday morning is dedication of our new multi-purpose building, by the way. It's going to be a significant week. Thanksgiving Sunday today. Much to be thankful for, don't you? Thanksgiving morning breakfast here together. Our service at 9:30. We're looking forward to a blessed week and a wonderful day with a dear brother who is no stranger to this fellowship. We almost feel that he's part of it. He is part of it. Amen. Amen. We have had over and over again with us our dear Brother Butterfield through the years. The Lord has certainly made a place in my heart for him. We honor and thank God for his calling, his placement in the body of Christ, the influence that he's had on the Pacific Northwest here through the years. I believe that our brother sharing with us this morning has been used of God and has been a tremendous influence upon the church of this area through the years, as he has fearlessly and boldly spoken out the word of God, the way of the Lord. And then it's been so thrilling to see how through the years our brother has grown and developed and been attuned to what God has been saying. It's been my privilege to have shared in numerous conferences through the last few years, and even this fall we've worked together in two or three conferences, and it's always a joy to be together with Dr. C. Butterfield, President Emeritus of Northwest College, former pastor in Everett for 20-some years. And let's welcome him this morning, shall we? We have a number of things in common. We both love the Lord Jesus. He's our Lord. He's our Master. We have been associated with Northwest College. He's been the president of the college. I was a student. He's had gray hair before me, and I'm working on that situation. And above all, it's just a joy to be yoke fellows together in the Lord Jesus. Mr. Butterfield, stand up. And it's always good to have you here with us.
Thank you, Pastor, and good morning, friends. We always enjoy coming to Christ Church in Northgate and sharing with you the blessing of the Lord. We love to tune in our hearts to the music, the singing, praises to God, spiritual songs and psalms, and occasional prophetic word that comes forth to encourage us and bless us. This is wonderful, and we enjoy it so much. We're glad to be with you today and to be with you in this Sunday school time. I'm not able to follow in the course of study that you've been following for these Sundays. My message to you this morning from the Word will be just a little bit on the side from that, but I'm sure that you'll enjoy continuing your study about the kingdom next Sunday. My thought to you this morning, at least the thought that seems to have implanted itself in my heart to bring to you this morning, is the matter of fruit bearing. Now, we hear much in these days about growth, about Christian growth, and how we must let the Lord develop us, and how we must come into greater knowledge of God and the things of God. But I would like to say that growth is no end in itself. That the only reason for growth is to bring forth fruit. And it is to that subject that I addressed myself this morning. And in talking and speaking or preaching on any subject, the first thing I always do is to search for foundation laws. I believe that all spiritual things are based on the laws of God. I'm not talking about the laws of Moses. I'm talking about the laws of God, spiritual laws. And as a teacher of the Word of God, I feel it incumbent upon me always to have a good foundation for what I say. In the basic law of God on a subject, and I take you there at the beginning this morning, and that is found in creation. And when God created what He created, He kept in mind always and encouraged the idea of bearing fruit right from the beginning. And God said, "Let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth." And so it was. And the earth brought forth grass, and herb yielding seed after his kind, and a tree yielding fruit. When he made the creatures in the sea, he ordered them, God blessed them. He created great whales and every living creature that moveth, which the waters brought forth abundantly after their kind, and every winged fowl after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, "Be fruitful and multiply, and fill the waters in the sea, and let the fowl multiply in the earth." And so they brought forth after their kind. When God made man, find it in the 28th verse of the same chapter, first chapter of Genesis, and God blessed them, and God said to them, "Be fruitful, and multiply, and replenish the earth, and subdue it, have dominion over the sea and the fowls of the air and every living thing that moveth upon the earth." So you see, basic to the subject of fruit bearing is the law of creation. In other words, there is a law of increase running all through the Word of God. Now, This law of increase, in its ultimate sense, is for the glory of God. Because what God puts life in order to bring glory to His name, that life, that thing that He puts life in, must glorify Him. Not just by growing, but by bringing forth the fruit of its purpose. The fruit of its purpose, whether it is to beautify the earth or bring forth fruit for man to eat, or whatever the purpose is to multiply and to bring forth fruit, because this is the life of God. And I think that it is easy for us to apply that in our church life, so that it becomes a good lesson for us always to keep in our mind that we are creatures that are fruit-bearing. We are fruit-bearing Christians. And so we find this law of increase. It must take place because God instituted it. It's the creation of God. These trees that you see in your foreground as you look out the window there, they were not created 50 or 75 years ago when they came out of the ground as a little shoot, but they were created when God made the trees in the beginning, and this is just the result of centuries upon centuries of the seed that has been sown and carried across the face of the earth, and it has brought forth these trees that we see and enjoy today. And so this is a law of God. It is a law that imposes itself upon everything that God has created. It is not something that is optional with us, in which we make certain decisions about whether we're going to bear fruit or we're not going to bear fruit. It is the fruit bearing that is mandatory upon us. We'll die if we don't bear fruit. And we find this so aptly described in the Word of God in the 15th chapter of John, where Jesus said, I am the vine, ye are the branches. And if the branch does not bear fruit, he removes it. He takes it away, and it's burned up. And the branch that does bear fruit, he purges or prunes it so that it might bring forth more fruit. So we see this law running all through the scriptures of bringing forth for the glory of God, fruit bearing. Now this is not only in the natural, but now there is a new creation. God has given us a new life. We are new creatures in Christ. And in this new creation, God expects fruit out of this new creation. He expects fruit from my life. He expects fruit from all of us to bring forth fruit unto God. In the parable of the sower that went forth to sow, the question in an ultimate sense was not, did it grow? The seed that was sown on good ground, and it says that it grew, it could not boast of itself and say, well, I didn't wither because of the sun. I didn't die because I was sown on rocky soil. But the ultimate in the seed that was sown on good ground was that it brought forth 30 and 60 and 100 fold. And this is the climax of the parable here, was the fruit bearing. It's everywhere we see right now. Ushers are passing the plate to gather the fruit. That's right. This is the joy of life. Fruit bearing is the joy of life. And so we are, as God's people, we are to bring forth fruit. As spiritual creatures, we are to bring forth spiritual results. In other words, the things that have the life of God in them, that we are to bring forth as Christians. Whatever is the fruit of the Christian life is what we are to bring forth. I think that much of the discontent and unhappiness that many Christians experience is because they are not fruit-bearing. They look upon giving to God as, well, for instance, giving money as a kind of a the church's tax on them. And it is not a fruit-bearing or joyful experience to them at all. It is a sort of a must to them. They must put in their contribution, and they don't have any sense of fruit bearing out of it at all. It's just being taxed sort of life. We're supposed to bring our tithes into the house of the Lord. Well, that's true, we are, but this can be a fruit bearing experience in which we have great joy. When the tithes were gathered in the time of Israel, it was a time of feasting and rejoicing and a wonderful time. And so it can be in the house of the Lord. When God's people bring their tithes into the house of the Lord, it is a sort of a fruit-bearing time. But of course, far beyond and above all of that is the bearing of spiritual fruit, in the sense of the life of God reaching out in this barren world in which we are and bearing fruit unto God. This would include the soul saving by exposing ourselves to others. I'm not talking about running around and knocking on people's doors, nor getting all guilt-ridden because we do not talk to everybody we see about Jesus. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about letting the life of Jesus shine through us. Just like Peter, when he was walking along the streets and the cities, it says his shadow fell upon people and they were healed. See, he didn't go to any great work making shadows. It just happened that the life of God was on him. See, and he was fruit bearing because God was there shining through his life. Praise the Lord. It can be so with us. God wants us to be fruit bearers. The love of God, which is the first fruit of the Holy Spirit, the love of God, that's the first fruit that's mentioned in the nine fruits of the Holy Spirit. The love of God is one of the most powerful instruments that there is in this world to affect and influence our fellow men. God's love is. God's love is the witness to ourselves that we are saved. It is this fruit of God that's in us. As we know that we have passed from death unto life because of the fruit that's in us. Because we love the brethren, and that's fruit. When we love each other, that's fruit. When we mingle about in the congregation and say God bless you and greet each other and rejoice with each other and weep with each other and love each other, that's fruit. That's the fruit that the Bible mentions here. And so we our lives are to be fruit-bearing, so that the words of our mouth and the meditations of our heart are acceptable unto God. And when we open our mouth to speak, there comes out words of life, because there's words of life within us. And it was like Jesus. Everything that he said was the word of God. He didn't say anything that he had to retract. Say, oh, I forgot. Yesterday I said something I shouldn't have said. I want to correct it today. No, there wasn't anything to be corrected, because he was God, and everything he said was the word of God, and from out of his mouth came words of truth all of the time. And so it can be with us, I suppose, to a lesser degree, but I'm just talking about the fruit of the Spirit in us, that our words and our actions and the way we look and the way we react teaches people, and people really enjoy the fruit out of the life of a person whose reactions. How did you react to the sermon that you heard last Sunday? What was your reaction? Your reaction is fruit. It's fruit bearing. Your words, your thoughts, your life is fruit bearing. And this is the thing that the Lord seemed to insist upon. It wasn't so much growing. It wasn't so much just cramming our head with scriptures and knowing all about God and all about how the gifts of the Spirit work and all of that. That's all wonderful, and there should be growth. But the growth always aims at a target. It has its ultimate. It has fruit as the ultimate, so that we enjoy the fruit and everybody else enjoys the fruit. It is the fruit of God in the earth that we are to be bearing as Christians. Praise the Lord. I love to taste this fruit, even out of other people's lives, don't you? Praise the Lord. We just enjoy the fruit that comes from other people's lives, and then we enjoy also bearing fruit ourselves.
Please turn the tape over at this point. Thank you.